time since 1988.
The kids on the Penn State University campus and State College, Pennsylvania, are still trying to come to grips with the fact that their coach is now gone, one of the most revered U.S. sports figures in college football history, but just in sports across the board. Joe Paterno's firing has set off a firestorm of problems in that area with some of the kids chanting and rioting and all that sort of stuff. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and that's where we start. This story certainly is far from over. Hopefully it ends with some people doing serious jail time for their role in covering up what happened with an assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, as he assaulted young boys, allegedly, maybe for years, maybe for 15 years, partially under the guise of a charity called Second Mile. And as I mentioned, there are nuggets of information that keep coming from every direction. In fact, when you make your own calls and you start to talk to people and you start to get the reactions of former players, which I've done, and next week we're going to have a lot of different people looking at this from legal angles and all, and some other eyes of, after a week, as to where is this all headed. They're talking now that for sure you've got a ninth possible victim now in his 20s that's coming forward. And in fact, the police in Pennsylvania have set up a telephone hotline, this is how bad it is, to get information about all these sexual abuse allegations. And in the meantime, the campus is not really dealing with this so well. The students, don't they get what has happened here? 45,000 students go to the main campus in State College. And you've got other Penn State campuses, of course, across the state. So you just have kids that I don't think are realizing, are really putting together, or they're just being stupid about it, what has happened on this campus. The student newspaper, the Daily Collegian, are you ready for this, published a commemorative 12-page tribute to Paterno under the headline, this is what their headline said, "The End." And then they had an editorial that described the firing of Paterno as an embarrassment for the university and said protests by students set our university two steps back. Well, I don't think it's embarrassing, the cover-up. I don't care that he won two national championships and more games than any other college football coach and had the adoration of students and alumni and everybody else who ran into Joe Paterno, because, you know, that was his program, The Winning Ways. The Winning Ways went off the track when he was made aware, at least by 2002, from Mike McQuarrie, who now is the receivers coach at Penn State, that Jerry Sandusky, who had been the defensive coordinator, was sodomizing, because that's how I would describe it, a 10-year-old kid in the showers. How does that not get reported up the chain? But we have to move beyond that, because now it's about, okay, grappling with the scandal and finding out, as I said, those nuggets of information. So we're already shocked. We already know this is outrageous. We already can't believe the things that have happened. And I'll bet you that Saturday game is going to be wild. They're warning all of the kids about going to that game on Saturday, because they're going to have an interim head coach. Tom Bradley is the interim guy. And they're not so much concerned about the players, but everybody else, because they believe there's going to be rioting. They're boosting the security, all that sort of stuff. In fact, they've got pepper spray, and they had to actually use pepper spray, because a television van was overturned in a demonstration of the kids going crazy. And this is all from what happened with Sandusky. And it should have happened a long time ago. Then Paterno, I mean, think about it. What does Paterno have to do? Go to the police. fine that he told people up the ladder, but go to the police. Go to the State College Police Department, whatever, and report it. Go before the microphones, get rid of Sandusky, and tearfully or whatever, say he can't believe what happened. That could have happened back in 2002, but it didn't. And you know what? You can't freeze time. So in moving forward, let's see what happens to Joe Paterno's legacy. Let's see what happens to that football program. Let's see what happens, more importantly, to the victims of Jerry Sandusky. And let's see what happens to Mike McQuarrie and anyone else who knew something and nothing happened to them. How is Mike McQuarrie? Sorry, but he saw it. He reported it. He didn't go to anybody else, and he accepted that. And that's wrong. And you know what people are saying? Well, you know, he's 28-year-old kid. He's a kid. Are you kidding? 28 years old? You're a man. He's a 28-year-old kid. He doesn't know that that's wrong. Of course he knows that's wrong. So still people trying to connect the dots and then ultimately ask the big question, why wasn't something done sooner? And Paterno's gone, yes, but nothing but questions have really remained for the remainder of this week, and that will bleed over, I'm certain, into next week. Maybe if nothing else, if there's any kind of a silver lining, the Jerry Sandusky doesn't have the access to these boys. And maybe it raises the level of awareness about trusted people in children's lives that worm their way into positions where they have power over kids and get them to trust and do whatever they can to buy their affection and then turn the tide on innocent young lives. I mean, that's the thing that somehow gets lost in this. He's been charged with molesting 8 boys at least, and I said there was a 9th over 15 years. The state grand jury just released its report. The athletic director, Tim Curley, is on administrative leave. He should be gone. And the vice president, Gary Schultz, has retired because he knows. He knows that he would be toast, and he knows that certainly is the opinion. All right, quickly, here is, you know, there's lots of reaction pouring in. Here's Mike Munchak, who was a big player for Penn State. He talked about Paterno's role and also playing for Joe Pa.
I don't know what he knew at the time, so it's kind of hard to judge on what he decided, but ultimately he knows that he's the guy that made that university what it is. He's responsible for anything that happens while he's the head coach there, and so he knows that he has a lot of responsibility in this. Great coach to be around. I knew the players were very important to him, not just as football players, but as people. He made that very clear. I thought the way he handled the team, the way he motivated us, the stories he told us, it was more about life, not just football.
Yeah, what we do know, and he said it there, we don't know all the details. What we do know from the grand jury is that Paterno knew, and the two others that I mentioned, Curley and Schultz, they knew what had happened there in 2002. And very graphically, they knew what happened. And because McQuarrie, who saw what was going on in the shower, reported it, his mother now is speaking because she's been asked, his mother Ann, she says he was distraught after witnessing what he saw, but yet they continued to carry on and nobody went to the police. Your email's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
In just a second, and coming up later this hour, a daily salute. We need a little lift here on this show, don't we? Don't forget, too, if you're sticking around for our third hour, it's fantastic because you could win some wonderful prizes if you nail the score. And how do you nail the score? Well, randomly, our computer picks the game of the week in the NFL. You call in. You don't have to know anything about football. You don't have to analyze it to death. It doesn't matter. You just pick one of the teams, tell us what you think the final score of the game is going to be, and maybe you'll win. We've had some people that have come close, and usually it's like horseshoes in a way. When you start to circle around, you get closer and closer. Eventually someone seems to get it. I say that, and we've only had one winner, however, in 3 years, but I just feel like someone's going to win. So maybe that could be you. That could be you. How cool would that be? You'd have bragging rights if you nail the score. Someone did it. Chris in Connecticut. I'm not kidding you. She nailed the score. You could be the next one. She won some pretty cool things. She liked Tom Brady, and she ended up getting some Tom Brady memorabilia. So she was more than excited. She had food coupons, all this stuff, and she didn't care about any of that. She was more excited about the Tom Brady stuff rather than anything else. All right, let's jump to a couple of things here, including your interesting notes, most of them centering around what happened at Penn State, but also a few on Fannie and Freddie. That didn't get by everybody. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
DeMail is here!
Thanks, Homer. So the mail is here, and this one is from the Raging Cajun. I wonder if that's an LSU fan. The Raging Cajun says, boy, I hate to stomp on the grave of Penn State, but this has put a deep stain on the program, Kate, don't you think? Seriously. Jopa, who would have ever known what was going on at State College? How could he ever have covered that up? When McQueary went to Joe Paterno, he should have called the campus police immediately, even if it wasn't in a contract. It doesn't matter. Sure, he told the higher-ups, but then to not follow up and not ask any questions and pretend as though it had not happened, apparently, although we can't be inside his head, that was just the wrong thing to do. Yeah, and you know what is interesting is Paterno did move it up the chain, and the people that he took it to, like the athletic director, are in trouble. They're in trouble because they've been charged with perjury and failure to report the incident to authorities, because you have to do that by state law, or it's a criminal offense. Sandusky, by the way, Jerry Sandusky, is denying the charges. So he's not saying guilty. He's denying the charges. And this goes back to 2002, and who knows before that. We're talking a 15-year period. It seems to be that window. And the state police commissioner made sure, because so many people are asking about Paterno, by the way, that his failure to contact the police or follow up was just a moral thing, but not anything criminal, because he did take it up the chain at Penn State. Geez, you would think they know each other so well. You would think that if I'm the coach and I have so much pull at the university and I see my athletic director however many times I see him a week, you think I wouldn't ask Tim Curley, hey, what's being done on the Sandusky situation? Or you wouldn't say something to the vice president who retired, Gary Schultz. You wouldn't say anything to either one of them. That wouldn't be discussed. That would be it. So naturally, the president of the university was let go, and should have been, and Joe Paterno. It looked like he was going to stay for the last game, but they made the right move there, so that was one thing that they did do correctly. It should have happened immediately when all of this was announced, but they did make that move. Like I said, a lot of you wanted to sound off on this. This is from Mandy Bradley. She says, Kate, I cannot believe that Mike McQueary, the assistant coach, is not gone. How is it that they cherry pick who gets a pass and who gets to stay? McQueary saw what happened. He didn't go to the cops. He did go to Paterno, but that wasn't enough. What's wrong with the people at Penn State? I don't care if they're 19, 20, and 21 years old. Why are they throwing rocks and bottles, and why are they knocking over a television news van? It makes absolutely no sense, and it just makes them look like a bunch of idiots. All right, here's another one. This is from Bob. America Tonight. A lot of Paterno talk, but you have mixed in some other things as well. Everywhere I turn, that's what people are talking about. Maybe it's a good thing because it sheds a light on child victims. Perhaps something will be done in this country. Perhaps more kids will be saved from this horrible fate. What would it be like to live with that? What would it be like to be 9, 10, 11 years old, to really have nothing in your life, but think that you have something because you're part of this program where you get cool presents and you get taken places and you get to watch the Penn State football team. How sick, how shocking, how wrong. Yeah, it's that power thing, gaining the trust. He's right. The kids have nothing or have very little anyway, and this would lift them up, you would think. Second mile, that lifts them up. And what it was just a feeder system. Not that there weren't people that did some good things for those other kids, but for any of the kids, but it was a feeder system for Jerry Sandusky, and it was allowed to go on. Let's see. We got another one here. This comes to us from Jane, who says, interesting that more women email the show, by the way, ladies, than call the show. And Jane says, I was listening to some of your callers about what happened at Penn State. I think the guy's name is Tom from Michigan or Maryland, you said. I don't know. But what he said was definitely right on, that if these had been little girls, you know what would have happened. He would have immediately been in jail. They would have gone to the cops immediately, but instead, because it was the boys, they cover it up. And maybe there is something about homosexuality. Well, here's the one thing, though. He's not a I wouldn't call, if you're going to label Sandusky, he is a sick pedophile. Now, let's take it to the right level of what he did to these kids. Pedophile. The worst kind of predator. That's what he was. If I'm going to label him, let's give him the right label. And sure, if it were girls, I think that, yeah, you would have seen immediately perhaps something would have happened. But I don't believe this is a scandal around the homosexual thing. It's the pedophile thing. It's the twisted, sick pedophile thing, and what happens, I guess, the cover-up of that, because so many people didn't, maybe they didn't want to deal with it. They just wanted it to go away. Let's make this go away, and this is how we'll deal with it. Okay, we did get a couple of notes here about Fannie and Freddie. We have Norm, we have Jake, we have John, and we have Bill. Finally, that's a lot. Four letters. Four emails about Fannie and Freddie. I'll just take Jake's. Jake says, you know me, your serial emailer. Fannie and Freddie got to go, lady. That is outrageous that they want these bonuses. 10 people getting bonuses, getting an outrageous amount of money. $12 million, I thought I heard you say. Yeah, it's just over $12 million. And so once they found out on the Hill, they're saying, forget it. Why should we pay these bonuses? And then what they keep getting back is, well, we can't keep these good employees. We can't keep these people in place if they don't get a good compensation package. Now, of course, what's going to happen is there's going to be testimony on this on November 15th at the Senate Banking Committee. Oh, I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter, but do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com, spelled InstaFire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. InstaFire.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family. peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
By that, we'll get into that coming up in our next segment. Deadlines? We don't need any stinking deadlines. Not if it's about us. Kate Delaney here, America Tonight. Don't forget, coming up in our next hour, for three segments anyway, and we'll jam you in if you're able to call through or send us an email at americatonight.net. We go to one of what I think is one of the fun things that we do on the show, because we have stuff to give away, and it's called Nail the Score. Randomly, our computer, thanks to the work of Donovan Madsen, because he has the heavy lifting he has to do. And we're just going to have to start bribing some people to help him with the giant supercomputer that we have at the mothership, GZN. Sparing no expense, Ted Anderson got us the best computer for Nail the Score. So they pull up the computer, we let her rip, and then the game of the week is chosen. You call in and decide who's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. If you correctly nail the score, our virtual confetti will rain down upon you. And more importantly, high praise, bragging rights, and some very cool prizes. Very, very cool prizes. All right, let's move on to, I can't even believe that we haven't talked more about Herman Cain. Notice that we have shifted away from Herman Cain across America on talk stations near and dear to your heart. We have moved away from Herman Cain. I do want to tell you one thing about Cain. Do you know that since October 1st, Herman Cain has raised $9 million? Yeah, $9 million. People like Cain. He has some loyal followers. And on this show, we did our straw poll. A lot of people like Ron Paul and Cain. They're kind of neck and neck. And that may change as we move along. With the caucuses and with the primaries coming up, and we're going to be at the New Hampshire primary broadcasting for 3 days from New Hampshire. I can hardly wait. How many layers do you think you have to wear in New Hampshire? Bring the armor, because you're going to have to be layered if you're going there. You know, it's that old thing, and since I'm not used to that so much anymore, and many of you in the Northeast can relate to this, and in the Midwest, when you're so layered up that you just sweat. You go inside, and the heat is cranked up, and then you go outside, and it's killer cold. And I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the primary. And I'm very excited that we're going to be broadcasting from Manchester, New Hampshire. Right now, though, we are broadcasting from the little satellite facility. And, of course, the mothership always by our side, hovering somewhere close. Because of the Penn State story, which should be front and center, because if it truly is about the buzz in your backyard and my backyard, everybody's talking about it. And if nothing else, and I just said this, it could raise the awareness of what happens in these trusting situations with sexual predators. And maybe some people are stopped before it happens. Maybe there are fewer Jerry Sanduskis who get to go after their prey again and again and again because they're stopped in their tracks. Maybe more eyes are made open because of what's happened, because lots of conversations are going on. And, you know, that's the good news there. Penn State definitely punted, and they should have been aggressive when all of this stuff was happening. And I'm sure more things will drop out as a result of this. The coach, Sandusky himself, he could get, who knows, 500 years in prison. Probably goes away for life once he goes for the trial. Remember, these are all the evidence and everything that's been gathered, so there was enough to charge him. Now he has to go through our court system. I can't imagine there's any way that he will wiggle free from it. One of the things, because of that, that didn't, and we mentioned it on America Tonight, here we have Veterans Day, and hats off to all our wonderful veterans recognized the whole week. I don't know how many of you flew your American flags, but I noticed that there were plenty of flags around in neighborhoods near me, and it always, I don't know, it always warms my heart to see that. I know it's corny. That sounds corny. But driving down the street, I see all the flags, and I think, wow, that's great, because you can't say enough about people who have lost their lives, people who are serving now, people who have sacrificed so much. That's why when a sick story, like this crazy story about what happened at Dover Air Force Base, you know this story? And we did touch on it, but if you've just tuned in and you clicked in, you don't know what I'm talking about, the Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, is now ordering the Air Force to look at its decision to not fire, here we go again, to not fire three of their supervisors that were at the mortuary. It's a military mortuary where some of the war remains were mishandled. That's like sacred. How does that happen? So Panetta holds a news conference at the Pentagon, and he said that he's, you know, talked to the Air Force secretary, and he wants to know what's happening. He thinks that needs to be reexamined, and I agree with him. That's not a slap on the wrist offense unless there's some reason, which I can't think of what the reason would be. That there needs to be more teeth in that because of how that was mishandled and bodies were dumped, and they were dumped in landfills, meaning, you know, the the remains were in landfills. What is the procedure? I mean, they need to examine that. Here's Panetta.
I want to make certain that we have taken all appropriate disciplinary action here. We have to send a clear signal to the American people that this kind, these kinds of actions that took place there cannot happen again.
Yep, cannot happen. Of course they can't happen. You can't have people serving and then have the families notified of that, making that call, or even families who would be uneasy about it, because now they're thinking in their head, is this what happened? Is this what happened to my son, my husband, my wife, whatever? So Panetta gets briefed, and this happened right after he became the defense secretary in July. He was made aware of that. And they said the families of those whose remains were mishandled should get an apology. Yeah, an apology and then some. I wouldn't want to be the person making that call, but it needs to be made. It needs to be made. And look, really, Panetta should fire them. He should clear house. There's no reason to pussyfoot around that. They need to just flat out fire him. That's what has to happen here. And the Air Force Secretary, Michael Donnelly, because it was his decision to not fire them, Donnelly needs to go. Sorry, Donnelly. Out of here. Also, I would look at the Chief of Staff, Norton Schwartz, because he's somebody that's reported to. He's somebody that would make a decision here. And I think the same thing. Same thing. Panetta had a busy day. He was talking about what was going on there. And then he was also warning that if the cuts happen, and he knows that he's got to keep speaking out on this, because an automatic trigger will go down on over a trillion cuts if the super committee, which is Democrats and Republicans, don't come up with some sort of concoction, some kind of potion, some kind of magic wand to make, poof, money disappear. And they have to agree on the money that's going to disappear. How do we save money? And I don't see them doing that, but okay, well, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for another week. The defense secretary knows how this game is played because he's been on the inside of it, and he's warning that the cuts that might happen if the deficit isn't reduced would leave the military exposed. I mean, he's flat out saying, hey, you cut the kind of cuts that you want to make here, and this is inviting. This is inviting terrorists and others to come after us. Come on, be aggressive, because our defenses are down. This is the time to get us, because we don't have money. So we can't update our equipment. If that trigger happens and there is cuts to defense and entitlements, and it would amount, it would double the $450 billion in the cutbacks they're already having to carry into the next decade. He says the military, yeah, I mean, if he's saying this and looking at the books and saying that the military, this scares me, would be a hollow shell of its former self. You wouldn't have people, you wouldn't have training, you wouldn't have equipment to actually even just do the job. We're not saying go be up, beyond and above. We're saying just do the job. So 20% in every area? 20%? Oh, that's scary. And I liked how he put it. He said, it's a ship without sailors. It's a brigade without bullets. It's an air wing without enough trained pilots. It's a paper tiger. An army of barracks, buildings, bombs without enough trained soldiers to do what they have to do the mission. And low morale. Not being able to keep up, it invites aggression. That's scary. And then what kind of leadership would you have? Oh, it'd be a tough time to be in the military in one of those positions. They got to come up with some kind of a deal. They're hoping that they can make this deal by November 23rd, but the reality is if they don't start doing it, it's going to swing down. The axe will swing and the military will suffer. Coming up next, the Daily Salute.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Storable foods, check. Water filters, check. Gold and silver, check. Tactical gear, check. What's missing from your survival checklist? An essential that should not be taken for granted. Storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. Since many foods do not contain the essential micronutrients your body needs, you need Survival RX, the world's first ultra-long-term storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. How long? Survival RX products have a shelf life of up to 30 years, thanks to triple nitrogen flushing for guaranteed freshness. Go to SurvivalRx.com for our complete product list, including powdered milk and whey protein isolate. And remember, November is Nuclear Disaster Preparedness Month at SurvivalRx.com. With every order until November 30th, you will receive a free bottle of potassium iodate. Just enter coupon code RADIO. Go to SurvivalRx.com. That's Survival, the letter R, the letter X.com. Add SurvivalRx.com to your preparedness checklist today.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Song. I still like it. I don't get tired of it. I think I've probably heard it, no exaggeration, maybe 400 sometimes. Maybe 400. Not the whole song. Little snippets of it. Driving down the highway. It's one of those tune-it-up songs. Everybody has a few of those where you, I don't care if you have Sirius or you stick in your own music. When you get tired of that and you eventually go back or you listen to the spoken word, because that's so popular, we love that since we're doing talk radio. But you get tired of that, you want to hear music, and you flip on a station. There are certain songs, even though you've heard them, you know them by heart, you turn it up, you crank it up. And I think that's one of those crank it up songs. I'm going to say definitely it's one of those crank it up songs. All right. It's always good news. And this is why this has been chosen as the daily salute. It's always good to me, no matter what your stripes are, if you're right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, floating around, whatever. I think it lifts you up to see Congresswoman Gabby Giffords now trying to survive and trying to thrive. The fact that she was shot point blank by Jared Lee Loeffner and other people died when she was just talking to her, to constituents, talking to people, and trying to be that congresswoman that's out there in the field getting the thoughts of the people who she represents. I mean, but that's an old story. She was out there and that world was shattered. Unfortunately, some sad stories of the people who died, but she survived, and everybody wants to see her do well. They want to see her make a comeback. They want to see her be able to bounce back from it. And it's so tough when you've been shot at point blank range, when bullets go through an area of your brain where you're talking about motion and that kind of thing. So she was on the air being interviewed by Diane Sawyer along with her husband, and that's going to air on Monday. And you could see she's relearning things. You could see that she's trying, and, you know, when she was first hit, you didn't know if she would even speak or walk again. So to me, this is the Daily Salute, but I want you to hear, because they release a little bit of it, and it's worth it. It's worth it to hear. You can listen to a tiny little bit of Sawyer asking Giffords how she feels, and then also Mark Kelly, her husband, the former astronaut, talking about, in a way, how much he admires his wife, that she's such a fighter.
How do you feel?
Pretty good.
Is it painful? Is it hard?
No, it's difficult.
Gabrielle Giffords is too tough to let this beat her.
All right, bravo. What a family. Yeah. Yeah, this was a catastrophic head wound, and they've really documented a lot of, Mark Kelly has, of what she's had to do to jump back from this, having to learn anything, like things like nodding heads and smiling and all that sort of stuff. And for the first time since she was hit at the Tucson supermarket, she spoke out publicly and was trying to sum up what it was like for 9 months of pain and rehab and, you know, what she had to go through. And like I said, the fact that she could talk, if you've known anyone that's had any kind of a brain injury even, you know how tentative that is, how tough it is to come back from that. I'll be curious. I want to see that interview. I want to see more of that, to see some of the things that they've done to help her come back. But regardless, we needed something uplifting, right? And I think that's one of that's an uplifting story, because she has been able to come back from that. She is moving forward one day at a time, and it hasn't even been a year, if you think about that. Hasn't even been a year. Wow. We haven't talked politics very much this hour, which is surprising, because such a big chunk of America tonight, with all the frustrations we have, is about what's happening in Washington and who some replacement players could be and how big 2012 is. I always have the hopes, when I started to do this show, that when we go through election years, especially presidential elections, but any elections, that the numbers of people who would turn out to vote would surprise us. Because I just don't understand why more people don't go and vote. I always say, if you vote, you can kvetch. If you vote, you can whine. Hey, I voted. I voted. I was out there. I think you have to vote. All it takes is a trip to a country where people don't have a say at all in their government. There is no free elections. And you see just how important that is. So we're going to broadcast live from New Hampshire, the site of the first primary. And what's happening now, if we check in with the Republicans, because we know it's Obama on the Democratic side, and that's all strategy from his people on positioning what he's done, positioning things that people are frustrated with. And for the Republicans, it's about going after the things that people are frustrated about. And, of course, it's the economy. So Rick Perry, Herman Cain are in damage control mode a little bit. With Perry, it's the didn't do so great in the debate, kind of stumbled. Not kind of, did stumble. Herman Cain, he's trying to put the sexual harassment deal in his rearview mirror. And in the meantime, a lot of people think that Newt Gingrich may turn a corner, might have a chance to catch up and get closer to Romney and some of the others in big states like Iowa, because those caucuses are coming up. And he'll certainly have to survive as much scrutiny as everybody else. But will he start to come up in the polls? And the new polls that'll come out, I'm going to be curious to see, I think, what happens with, you know, what happens with Herman Cain. Does he drop down a little bit or no? So far, it seems like, as far as support's concerned, when he's out places, you're seeing, if anything, kind of a, I think, a swelling of crowds. In the last debate, you heard that people booed when he was asked about the sexual harassment stuff. So he's got support. He's got support. The front runner still, though, is Mitt Romney. He's the guy that has to be unseated because he's the establishment candidate. And Romney is the front runner in New Hampshire. Gingrich, Newt Gingrich, is pretty popular with a lot of Iowa Republicans, and he's gotten some good reviews. He's dipped into Iowa a few times. He gave a speech at a big dinner in Des Moines last week. And this is the whole thing you're doing. You're raising money and you're going to places, opening offices and doing the thing that you need to do when you're running for office in this country, especially when you're running for president. So Gingrich hasn't had any paid staffers in Iowa since June, and he's saying, and so that's a long time if you think about it, and he says that he's opening some headquarters there soon, and he's going to have a staff and that kind of stuff. And we'll see what happens with Romney there, we'll see what happens with Cain, and we'll see what happens with Perry. The swing states in just heads-up competition against the president will be interesting, like Nevada's going to be one of those. We know that looking at Ohio, of course, how important Ohio is to the Democrats. And as we get closer to narrowing down who's going to be the guy, things will change and the focus will shift. But right now, the only poll that I saw was that 45% of Republicans still do believe, like I said, the establishment guy is Mitt Romney, that he's going to be the nominee. That he's going to be it regardless of what happens. And this is Gallup that put out these latest numbers. There are even a lot of Cain supporters that believe Romney, it's his to lose. 38% believe it's definitely his to lose. How about that? Any thoughts on the show? Shoot them to me, americatonight.net. Click on the email and bada bing, you're in.